up, Raider Nation? This is Raider Radio.
Weren't you supposed to say, hey, what's up, Raider Nation?
And I did say that.
Say Raider Radio.
Oh, shit. I took your part, you know? I saw my moment and I went for it.
This is Raider Radio. First episode, obviously.
Hi, I'm Mike.
I'm Will.
Coming to you not live from the Raider Man Cave.
Raider Radio.
So, we're here to talk about the most, probably the biggest trade that's happened in the last 10 years. AJ McCarron for a fifth round pick. That's what everyone wants to hear about.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
huge.
I think John Gruden is a crazy wheel-and-dealing son of a bitch.
Mm.
And, you know, McCarron is exactly what we needed to take this franchise to the next level. I think that that's where Jack Del Rio fucked up. He didn't get AJ McCarron. And
who's that guy who someone in the Silver Bullet Band? He wrote a song called Ramblin' Gamblin' Man. I think he wrote that about John Gruden. Knowing in the future he'd trade for AJ McCarron.
Probably. But so in other news, you know, footnote of the day, Khalil Mack.
Who?
AJ McCarron, Khalil Mack.
Sorry, I get them confused all the time. AJ McCarron and Khalil Mack. Yeah.
So Khalil Mack got traded to the Chicago Bears after what is probably one of the most bittersweet off seasons as a fan, and probably in our history. I mean,
so let me ask you this: yeah. Is this Saturday? Right, I woke up. That's the first thing I saw. I woke up to that, to the news of Khalil Mack getting traded to the Bears, and I honestly thought I might drink drain cleaner that day, but I didn't. I got through the day, but my question to you is: was it in the top three worst days of Raider history?
Top three worst days of Raider history. Holy shit! Well,
you got when Bo Jackson was traded, right?
Or when Bo Jackson was injured, probably.
Injured, but Derek Carr injury. Probably not top three, but top ten. Because we've
that was
had,
on like Christmas Day, man. That was
hard. Yeah, Christmas no, that ruined Eve. Not ruined Christmas. It took Christmas away. That has to give it something.
Yeah, and the worst part about it is I was at my girlfriend's Hanukkah celebration, and everybody just
they just don't understand.
Yeah, they just saw like a grown man start sobbing. Like it was horrible. But this is up there.
Well, okay, what about the day Jamarcus Russell was drafted?
You know, that wasn't...
Knowing that what wasn't, you, we know now.
Well, that wasn't as bad as the realization that Jamarcus Russell sucked.
Yeah.
Like, that happened for me.
He
like,
was a blip that only lasted, what, 2-3 years, right? Over the span of time? But, I mean, it was a bad... The fucking reputation went from... You know,
so
killed us.
Tangents aside...
Yeah.
The Khalil Mack trade, whether you believe that he deserved the contract that he got or not...
Well, he did. He's the best defensive player in the league, arguably.
Well, you fucking...
He's a walking Hall of Famer.
I'm trying to make a point here.
I'm just point, counterpoint.
You want to get your opinion out right away, but...
I'm Skip Bayless.
It was a hard day for any Raider fan...
Absolutely.
...to stomach. If you thought it was a good trade, then you thought it was a good trade. And I could probably wax poetic about how it was smart, but... We lost the best player on our team in a year where you thought John Gruden was going to come back. He was going to basically undo the errors that Del Rio did in his last year and hopefully get us back to that 12 win team that we all thought we were. Because for the most part, the core of the Raiders from 2016 when we won 12 games is still there. Like with Mac, it's kind of the same team.
Well,
it's just the same team. With slight tweaks and a better coach. So I thought before the Mack trade, I thought we were probably gonna be a playoff contender. We were going to go deep in the playoffs. We were going to compete. And now I just look at the team and I'm wondering, like, do you have that guy outside of Derek Carr who's going to make like that clutch player play a couple of weeks.
No, we do not, because I mean Khalil Mack has single-handedly won his games before, right?
I think of that one play from what was it a year ago or 2 years
Cam
ago?
Newton,
the strap sack where he recovered
strip sack
where he recovered it.
That was Cam Newton. I think he recovered his
own fumble. Yeah, he picked it up and he ran it for a touchdown. Yeah.
But it was like 5 yards away. But like. Listen, you're never going to improve when you trade the best player in your team. Know what I mean? So, okay. So with Khalil Mack, how many wins do the Raiders get this season in your mind with him?
I want to get there, but I don't think we're ready for it yet. I think we got to talk about,
did you say Super Bowl?
With Khalil Mack, motherfucker!
Like, you had your hand over your mouth, and you know what? I heard Super Bowl. That's what I heard.
I mean,
we're not a Super Bowl team. No, we're not a Super Bowl team. We're not.
But so
I'm a great Raider fan, but I'm not like that delusional.
So let's clarify for the Raider fan that has been living under a rock for the past 6 months, or you know, only watches ESPN. The Raiders got a 2019 first round pick, a sixth round pick in 2019, and then another first round pick in 2020, and a third round pick in 2020. All right. In return for that, the Bears got Mack, a second round pick in 2020. So we essentially swapped second and third round picks, and a conditional fifth in 2020. So that's a lot for you to so to basically make a long story short, fuck the late round picks. We got two first round picks and we moved down from the second to the third in 2020.
Well, it sounds like the Raiders knew he was worth two round picks, right? First round picks. And then the other picks almost seem like a counter offer by the Bears or something like they probably came back to them with.
Yeah, you know, it does feel like a counter offer that we fucking stupidly agreed to.
I agree with you. And I don't know why we traded him when we did. But hold on. Before we get into that, I want to go back to my question. How many wins do the Raiders have this season with Mac? And how many wins do they have without Mac? Because I want to try to figure out how many wins is that one player worth. And football is not an individual game. It's not like fucking basketball. But I mean, the effort, because his motor never stops.
So can we frame it in a better way? Because Mike's stupid and he hasn't read the script. And in the preseason wrap-up, we're actually going to do a record prediction. So let's say, how many wins does Khalil Mack get you by being on the team?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it that way.
Okay.
All right. So for me, Khalil Mack, he probably makes game-changing plays that single-handedly win you a game 2 to 3 times a year, which is probably more than most non-quarterbacks.
So you're saying he's worth 2 to 3 wins?
2 to 3 wins is what I'd say. I think that he contributes to a game in a way that you can't really quantify in the rest of the year. But I, in my time seeing his career as a Raider, I've seen him every year 2 or 3 games where I'm like, well, if Khalil Mack isn't on the team, we lose. I mean, it's just pure and simple. Well, like, he does one fucking play in the fourth quarter that baffles my mind and completely changes everything, where we might even be in the lead and the team is marching down the field and knowing how shitty the Raiders defense has been the past decade plus. You're like, oh, well, they're just going to score. They're going to score. They're going to win the game. This is inevitable. Fuck this. And oh my fucking God, Khalil Mack just blew up everything. And
I'm going to miss that.
But now we don't have that. So when you're hemorrhaging in the fourth quarter, right, and you have the lead and you're only up by 3.
Well, you can't replace him. You can't.
You can't.
You can't.
But the worst part is, and I think this is a good transition to the next point, is the timing of the trade makes it so that we can't or even try to.
Yeah.
So the timing of this trade tells me that we mismanaged the situation.
Why did they trade him on a Saturday or whenever the deal was agreed to instead of like a Monday or a Tuesday? Because to Wednesday, you know, the Wednesday before the game is played is when the teams actually like practice and stuff like that. Like Tuesday's like your game planning day or whatever. But Wednesday's the day when that physical body who's not there starts to actually like, you know, affect things. Why didn't we, if you're going to, you know, it, the unthinkable happened, right? So if you're going to do the unthinkable, what would, if you thought the Bears offer was something that couldn't be matched, why didn't you wait another week or two or trade him?
To see if he reports.
Yeah, or yeah. Trade him months ago. You know what I mean?
Well, like, well, that's my problem, is that we traded him. Why now? We traded him on a Saturday. Aaron Donald's mega deal was done on a Friday.
See, but
so that leads me to believe that the Raiders had no fucking clue what Khalil Mack's value was.
I don't. I think they came with the number, right?
And they thought he was never going to get that.
I agree.
And
I don't know how much, though, Aaron Donald's deal in reality had that much to do with Khalil's deal, though.
I mean, it happened. He was traded a day after.
I know. What's the most likely day, though, that people are likely to be signed? The day before, you know, the fucking the cuts and when the roster needs to be shaped and before the week, you know, when the teams are actually preparing. I don't know how much it actually. Because I think they had a realistic. I think that'd be stupid. They pay people, you know, a full salaries to figure that shit out. Like, how much is he actually worth and how much can we pay him, you know, and how much does he want?
Mm-hmm. So it's a fair point there, but really what I was trying to say is that the evidence in the Raiders mismanaging the situation is that we traded for nothing but draft picks. We got nothing in return for the 2018 season. So if you,
this is true.
So if you get nothing in return for this season, trading him a week before you're supposed to suit up and play the LA Rams, who are a playoff team, who are one of the best, most talented teams in the league, it shows me that you mismanaged the situation because his value, Khalil Mack's value right now, all right, is lower than it was months ago. And the reason why is because the Chicago Bears, right? If the Chicago Bears wanted to acquire Mack, they would not have they would have tried to trade for him, and they might have tried trading for him months ago. All right? Mm. Because as the Chicago Bears, as a new player that you just gave 90 plus million guaranteed, whatever the fuck Khalil Mack's number is, I couldn't even look at it.
I was so sick.
But if you're going to pay a guy that much money, you want him in camp. You want him training with you. You want to make sure he's healthy. You want to make sure he's in shape. You want to teach him the defensive scheme. All right.
He's that one guy you really worry about, though, I feel like, you know, in camp. Like, if he came to play as a Raider, I wouldn't be like, oh, he missed camp, so, like, I have some red flags. He's one of those guys you know who's working out during the offseason, staying in tip-top, you know, physical shape.
Of course, and that's probably why the Bears pulled the trigger. But the point is that if we traded Khalil Mack at the beginning of the offseason, do you just get two first-round picks straight up? Do you get two first-round picks and a player?
I was so disappointed we didn't get a player. We need something. We didn't get his worth.
Well, it's fucked up that we didn't get a player when we traded him as late as we did, because now this trade means nothing for 2018. That's the problem.
Even
if you don't get a player and you traded him months ago,
we're supposed to be competing now. You know what I mean? Last year's in Oakland. The fan base wants this. How long do we have in Oakland? Like, two more years at most, right?
Yeah, of course. And this trade doesn't make you compete now.
No.
It doesn't do anything for the fans of Oakland that want something, you know, want some competition before the team leaves. And, I mean, if you traded him early in the season and you got no players back, you could actually form a contingency plan for that position. Right now, we have Tank fucking Carradine as our starting defensive end.
That scares me.
Like, it bothers me, man, because when I think about it, I mean, there are players who were signed that were not very expensive that could have been starters in the short term for us. You know, I just looked it up. I mean, on the high side of things, you know, Trent Murphy got signed for $7.5 million a year, and he got 9 sacks last year. Khalil Mack got 10.5. We know Khalil Mack is better than Trent Murphy.
Triple teamed, yeah.
Yeah, Khalil Mack's better than Trent Murphy. Don't get me fucking wrong. I don't know if Trent Murphy's even a fit. But going down the list, like, look at one of our own guys. Look at one of our own guys. Denico Autry got paid $6 million by the Indianapolis Colts. He was admittedly overpaid, but I'm of the opinion guys are more valuable on your team than another team.
I think that's the general GM sort of standpoint, too. Like, but, I mean, you would have felt more comfortable going with Denico Autry than Tank fucking Carradine, you know, into the season.
Exactly, because you know what? I know Denico Autry.
Yeah. Well, exactly. He's a known quantity.
Exactly. How many free agents come from other teams, they change schemes, and they just... I mean, and granted, we changed schemes, defensive schemes this year, but the point is like, look at Sean Smith, who came from the Kansas City Chiefs. He was a Pro Bowl corner, and he came here and he did nothing. Because you know what? Sean Smith was more valuable to the Kansas City Chiefs than he was to the Oakland Raiders.
Even prison didn't want him. They released him.
You're a piece of shit.
That's a funny.
That's fucked up. But yeah, I mean, I would have given, like, if you trade Khalil Mack at the beginning of the season and you know, you don't have to pay that $13, $14 million that he was owed, $6 million to Denico Autry so that you have a guy in place that you know can produce on an average level for you. Mm. Now, there's stuff to be fucking gained from that. Like, yeah. Like we draft, you know, Tank Carradine, Fadal Brown, and Arden Key. I mean,
hey, listen, there's a lot to be excited about, right? Young talent and all that was not without getting into it, but like there's a lot to be excited about, right? But I think we both agree no matter what. And if you're a realistic Raider fan, you know that the Sitchin was number one mismanaged. Two, you know, I was more excited than anyone when John Gruden came, right? But he let go a walking Hall of Famer, and this trade, for better or worse, whether it works or it doesn't, is going to be his legacy. And maybe one day he'll end up fucking regretting this. You know what I mean? How many... This is going to
determine how people feel. This is going to make or break John Gruden's
absolutely,
second stint.
Absolutely. His whole, you know, his legacy.
Think of it this way.
This could be his legacy.
I want to say 6 years from now. Because we have first round picks going to 2020. But 6 years from now, when we see the draft picks, when we see the moves that we've made since then, we'll be able to say, like, oh, you know, John Gruden fucked up.
But see, that's
or the, John Gruden okay. succeeded.
But that's the thing. We have to approach this like logically, right? Because I get it. I mean, I reacted to I like it's go, like going through the stages of depression. Like number one, when I saw, you know, like on Saturday on my fucking phone, I felt depressed, and that's, you know, that's the reaction. But then what is like stage two of depression? Like, you know, acceptance. So now we got to accept it going forward. This is reality. This is what the team is going to be, and we and all emotion aside, taking it logically, we're not going to be able to really realistically grade this trade for another 4 to 5 years. You know what I mean? Mm. Once we get those draft picks and they develop a little, listen, you can't replace Khalil Mack. You can't. You know, you're not reaching into the mystery box and, like, taking another Khalil Mack because he's a generational talent that just doesn't fucking spring off trees. You know what I mean? But, I mean...
I mean, my hopes are Mitch Trubisky... He's a hot piece of shit. I hated him coming out of college. I really
don't think they're going to be a good team this year. I don't.
They had a borderline top 10 defense.
Their defense is going to be great.
They had a top 10
defense. I think they got a better coach, right? Matt Nagy or whatever. But I still think their offense is going to be able to move the ball. Even though they've got a lot of talented pieces, but Trubisky, there's so much pressure on him. He's the big question mark. But anyway, but this is listen. The Raiders were their backs were up against the wall, and this is John Gruden being John Gruden. But at the same time, it's a you got to look at it. It's a philosophical trade, right? He's opening the Bill Belichick book of how to play football, and it's about depth, right? It's not about Bill Belichick would you agree? Bill Belichick would have cut Mac too, or he wouldn't have paid him.
I mean, I guess so. Has Bill Belichick ever signed a defensive player to a large contract like that?
I honestly don't know off the top of my head, but I don't think so.
I mean, I always felt that John Gruden was trying to emulate Bill Belichick this time around.
But that's the way to win football, and I get that.
But, you know, but no one's been able to do it.
No one is Bill Belichick. There's one Bill Belichick. I think people might have fucking tried.
No one has been able to do it.
I fucking hate the Patriots. He's like, you know, fuck that team. The Tuck game was in my top, like, you know, it was right up there with, like, girlfriends breaking up with me and stuff like that. But
you never had fucking girlfriends.
I never had girlfriends. I'm just kidding. But, You know, it's like, if you can't beat them, join them, like that sort of mentality. But I think that's the right way to build a football team. You build depth, right? So I understand not wanting to pay a guy that amount of money and, like, thinking that, like, you know, you can get some really talented players for depth and shit. I don't know if I'm explaining well, but it's a philosophical approach, I think, to the game rather than, you know what I mean? Than paying one guy. A lot of owners would pay people a lot of money. A lot of owners won't pay people, but
yeah,
it's just an approach to a game.
How to play the game. Counterpoint before we come to our last point to wrap up the Khalil Mack discussion is that you can sit around and fucking theorize and philosophize.
It's go crazy. That's
even a fucking word.
It is.
But all day about what will work, but eventually you have to get on the field and play the fucking game.
Yeah.
And Khalil Mack played it better than anybody. And so John Gruden will never get the benefit of the doubt for this trade. There's a possibility that the four first-round picks that we have going through to 2020...
Four first-round is a lot.
It is. But there's a possibility that those four first-rounders...
Are busts.
No. Let's even put it... Let's spin it in a good way.
The glass is half empty for me right now.
Let's say that those four first-rounders all succeed in some capacity.
They're starters.
Let's say they're all starters, all right?
Yeah.
If the Raiders don't win a Super Bowl and the Bears don't win a Super Bowl and Khalil Mack ends up a Hall of Famer, you lose the trade.
I agree with that in hindsight.
But that's the thing. As a fan,
it's all about winning. Just win, baby.
It's all about that. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, if this isn't a move that fucking gets us a win by the time his 10-year contract is over, a win in the biggest game that matters, then it's a fucking waste, because I would have preferred in 10 years competing with Khalil Mack, who is our fucking guy.
He's a Raider. Top 10 Raider of all time?
Already, and he's already fucking traded. I mean, this is like a fucking Marcus Allen type of moment, dude.
Yeah.
This is fucked up.
Yeah.
This is a guy that everyone universally loves. He's a good guy off the field. He's a good guy on the field.
No injury history. He's a captain on the fucking team. He's a leader in the locker room.
I mean, he does like the little things. He's an elite run defender.
His fucking motor never stops. He's always working on plays. Right. He never gives up on a play.
Exactly.
But we could sit here all day and talk about how great he is.
But so we're obviously very emotional. We've been rambling probably just like you guys have been.
Way too long.
So I want to cap off the Khalil Mack discussion with one question. I saw it on RaiderForums.com. It's a place I like to frequent. It's a really good site. How many sacks will the Raiders get this year? That's
a tough fucking question.
It's a tough fucking question, but
there's so many question marks. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So I prepared my numbers, and I didn't do any prep for mine. Yeah, you were always bad.
I'm gonna fucking just like fucking touch my crystal ball.
Exactly. So I will go down the list. All right. Of notable names. Bruce Irvin, in my opinion.
Bruce.
And I'm going to talk about Bruce Irvin a little bit more in my preseason wrap-up. But I very fucking generously gave him 9 sacks.
That's very generous. I feel like that's off the bat very generous.
This is me as a Raider fan being a little bit of Homer. 9 sacks.
6 sacks for me.
Six sacks for you. We'll copy this down here so we can.
Although, I mean, he's the most likely candidate, right, of the Raiders
for the league.
He's the most set up. Yeah, to get sacks.
But for comparison's sake, his career high is 8.
He's gonna hit a career. Okay, so bold prediction, hot take. Bruce Irvin career.
Never fucking sack. Use hot take again.
I'm stealing from Stephen A.
God,
hot take.
Fucking damn.
Hot take.
We are the opposite of ESPN.
Bruce is going to have.
Folks, the only reason why we're doing a podcast. You call them
folks, like they live in West Virginia or something. These are dignified.
What the fuck is wrong with West Virginia?
Dignified. All right. Listeners.
Carl Joseph came from West Virginia.
There's nothing wrong with Carl Joseph. I'm a huge fan. But let's dignify these people. They're hardworking blue collar people from Oakland. Is that
all right, people,
human beings.
What was my point?
I forget. Oh, Bruce Irvin.
Bruce Irvin didn't he come from West? No, he came from Wake Forest. Or was it West Virginia?
I don't remember.
I'm forgetting shit. But
career at Saks, though.
Yeah, I mean I don't think he. That's a glass half full type of thing.
That's a bold prediction.
It is a bold prediction, and if I wasn't half drunk on wine.
It's classy. You're so classy.
I'm not classy. I'm slutty. You're so classy. There's a difference. There's a fine line between classy and drinking wine and being easy.
Drinking wine to get drunk and be slutty. Yeah.
But so not nine for me, six for you. The next I have is PJ Hall. I think again I'm being pretty generous on this one. I got three sacks for PJ Hall. I
could see that. I'm gonna put him at 2.5. But I think that's around right the place.
Well, the thing is that when I started thinking about like what kind of sack protection we're gonna get from our rookie defensive tackles, I started looking at other defensive tackles, and the first person people are gonna go to is Aaron Donald, which is 9 sacks, and people don't do that. All right,
yeah.
Aaron Donald is probably going to go down as the best defensive tackle of all time.
Oof.
Like I'm gonna let you.
Hot take.
Just get the fuck out of here. But so defensive tackles, when they're like 10 years in the league, don't get 9 sacks a year.
Mm.
Rookie defensive tackles get far fucking less. All right. Geno Atkins, his rookie year, got 3 sacks. You're looking at a guy like Fletcher Cox got like five and a half sacks.
Well, you're not the guy there to get the sacks. You're the guy there to like help the pressure, to support the pressure.
Yeah, you know I mean, you want to get sacks.
Well, you want to get sacks, but you're not.
But
you know.
the point is that it's not easy getting sacks
in
there.
Yeah, yeah.
And PJ Hall came from a small school. I get it. He's an athletic freak. He's got a lot to learn. I think 3 sacks is fair. I think 3 sacks. Yeah. I think 3 sacks is putting him on pace with Geno Atkins. And that's
generous. That's generous. In itself is generous, yeah.
Yeah. So next on the list, Tank Carradine, who
all right. Super generous. I see your number.
Yeah, so I went Tank Carradine. I skipped Justin Ellis because I think his career high in sacks is like a half sack or some Jesus stupid Christ. Shit like that. He's a nose tackle. He doesn't need to get sacks. But we'll talk about the other defensive tackle people want to hear about after our starters, which is Tank Carradine. He's somehow our starting defensive end. I have him at 4 sacks, which is, I think it's tying his career high. I can't remember off the top of my head.
That's very generous. Tank Carradine is.
So here's the thing about Tank Carradine, and is a little sliver of hope for Raider fans. He had a career best year last year. It was his, I believe it was his first year moving to defensive end in a 4-3 defense.
Uh-huh.
Before that, the 49ers bulked him up coming out of college, put him as a base end in a 3-4. He was mostly a run stopper. He's great at stopping the run, which is why he's going to be our starter, because on first downs in a 4-3, you know, that's the kind of guy you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 4 sacks might be his career high or might break his career high. I can see him getting 4, like, just effort-based sacks, like lucky type of shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The quarterback runs that way.
Yeah, again, it's generous.
Yeah.
I was pitching high.
Yeah.
But what about you?
I mean, I can see around 4, too. Maybe if it was 5, if the Broncos didn't dump Paxton Lynch, because I feel like is Case Keenum not to talk about? No, I said just, yeah.
Yeah, Paxton Lynch feels like the type of quarterback that would get sacked by Tank Carradine.
Absolutely, because he'd run right into him and just probably fumble the ball, you know what I mean? But I mean, the Broncos drops him. We're not talking about the Broncos, but...
Fuck the Broncos.
Fuck the Broncos. Or the Donkeys, as they're referred to.
Call them whatever the fuck you want, they're pieces of shit. All right, going on, Mo Hurst. So this is our defensive tackle. Mo Hurst isn't starting for us.
He's an Uber driver with a rating of like 4.5 or something like that. So... with that in mind, I'm going to go 4.5 sacks. Tip him, baby. Tip him.
You got 4.5 sacks?
4.5.
All right.
Well, hot take.
Watch the Uber ratings be on a scale of 10 and Mike just fucked everything up.
Like, it's actually a scale of 10 here.
Yeah, that's exactly what
Mauricio is going to get 37 sacks this season.
I got for a defensive tackle who's going to be coming in our sub packages on third down, I got Mo Hurst at 2. People might call me a hater.
Yeah, you're a fucking hater. I'll be the one to call you a hater.
Right? I'll be honest. I hated Mo Hurst as a prospect.
Mo Hurst.
I did not like him as a prospect, but I also viewed him as a guy who was going to be taken in the first couple of rounds. So, as a fifth rounder where we got him, like, holy shit, that's a good value.
This might be the worst thing that I've ever said, but if he pans out right and he's an effect, he's effective and he's a sack machine, can we call him Mo Hurst? Like, call the Hurst because the quarterback's dead? Is that the worst thing I've ever said?
That's up there.
Am I?
No, it's not the worst thing you've ever said.
Less of a human being because of that?
I mean, you're just trying to be funny, but you're not funny.
Yeah.
But, that's a story and, of life. Yeah, I mean, it's...
What else is new?
It is what it is. So...
It's what my parents say. Yeah,
so let's power through this because I got to take a piss break. So
okay, we'll same.
We'll cut real quick. But Arden Key. So Arden Key...
I don't know, dude. He's the biggest question mark in the whole fucking defensive line.
So Arden Key, Tank Carradine, the one reason why I'm not... as worried as I should be about Tank Carradine, because I'm a homer, is that he probably will come off the field on third down.
Yeah.
And in certain second and long situations, he's going to come off the field as well. Arden Key is pretty much going to be the pass rushing defensive end opposite of Bruce Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious now that's what's
going to happen. Well, because we've got nothing else.
Exactly.
Know what I mean?
By virtue.
By default.
Yeah. By default. There you go. I got Arden Key at 6 sacks. I think Arden Key is a sack artist. I think that if he didn't come into the combine weighing light, I would have put him as a top 15, top 20 talent. I think that he was the best pass.
That was the general scouting report, right? That he was a top 10 like talent in itself coming out.
He was a top 5 talent a year ago. I mean, the thing about Arden Key is that he's got a full pass rush arsenal. He knows how to do multiple moves. Most guys coming out of college don't.
Yeah.
His problem was maturity. Discipline.
Yeah, the whole off
and,
the field.
Yeah, thing. And then his weight. His weight has fluctuated throughout his career. Mm. He had injuries and then his weight fluctuated. If he's healthy, if he bulks up as the season goes on, he's still a little too light for me. I could see him being a perennial all-pro defensive end. This year.
That's a high bar.
That is a high bar, but he's got the talent. He's got the skill.
Is he going to exceed Bruce Irvin?
He will be a better player than Bruce.
You
Irvin.
Think so? Okay.
I think Arden Key will if he gets his weight problem down.
I would hope so. Once he becomes a perennial professional.
But so this year, with the coaching staff putting him in situations where he only has to rush the passer because he's a complete and utter liability in the run game, I can see 6 sacks. What about you?
I mean, he's the biggest question mark, right? So for me, I think he has the highest ceiling and the lowest floor, right? So I could see like either like 3 sacks, or maybe I'd put, you know what? I realize this is a ballsy
hot take,
but I'd put him.
Fuck you.
But I'd put him maybe at 9 sacks, where you have Bruce Irvin.
ESPN cocksucker. 9 sacks is what you're going down.
You know what? Fucking quote me. 9 sacks, Arden Key this season.
I
know that's insane.
I wrote it down. Of course I quote
I feel like a fucking crazy person for saying that, but you know what? I have to have hope going into the season.
So last but not least, the other guys. The other guys are going
Carl to... Joseph.
Carl Joseph, he's a great blitzing safety.
Yeah.
You got Justin Ellis, who might give you a fucking sack.
Jolly!
You got Fadal Brown, who showed a lot in the preseason. I think he's going to be a good rotational player for us.
Calhoun, right?
Shelly Calhoun.
Yeah.
I think Fadal might be, like, the replacement for Danico Autry. Like he's a long,
strong... How old
strong,
is he? Do you know how old he is?
I don't know. Maybe 26 off the top of my head. Let me check real quick. So, Fadal Brown. And I shouldn't be checking this right now.
Because, we can edit this out.
Because I do not have time. He is 25. So, no, we don't got to edit it out. But anyway, so the other guys, I got the other guys, like Khalil Mack, Fadal Brown.
Not Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack. Fuck.
He's going to come in a Bears uniform like, ah.
No, so yeah, Carl Joseph, Fadal Brown, all Shalik Calhoun, all those guys. Yeah. I got them down for five. Five sacks. Can, the rest I, of the team's got
I
five sacks.
I can see that. I can see that.
So you're down for five as well. All right. So let's cut real quick. We'll come up with our total sack numbers real quick. We'll wrap up everything.
Okay.
Okay. It's a bad spot.
Do you need to pee that bad?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay.
All right. So.
Final thoughts.
Grand total on the sacks. I had. Oh, you didn't spend any of that time adding up your numbers.
Oh, no, dude. I don't do math. I don't. I.
So I had us at 29. There's no way you could do mental math that quick.
Absolutely not. Yeah, I have it at 26.5.
I mean, you, by the looks of it, you have it as being, you might actually be a little bit more than me.
Really? Shit.
Yeah.
I want to be the least optimistic one here, so I have reason to celebrate when they get more.
I don't know. You're kind of stupid, so you don't understand optimism. You're
dumb. I was going to have it at 69, by the way, so, before.
So, I mean, fuck Mike's opinion. You guys can add up the numbers if you actually care, but I know you don't.
No one cares.
I had 29. In 2017, the Raiders had 31 sacks. And that was with Khalil Mack.
So slightly less. I mean, that would make sense for me, though, for a defense that just lost its best player again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But better schemed.
Exactly. But so that's kind of my point about all this.
There's a give and take.
We were 24th ranked last year. So 31 sacks was not good by any means of the imagination. For me this year, we are not going to be a good pass rushing team. But we are going to be a more well-rounded one. We're going to be more efficient. For guys that are not necessarily talented enough or ready to play in the spotlight yet, so PJ Hall, Mohurst, Arden Key, I think that we're going to be a better defense. We're going to be a better team, though the stats might not show it. And that's because you lost 10.5 sacks with Khalil Mack. I mean,
you lost more than just 10.5 sacks.
You lost
the presence.
And the best run defending defensive end in the league. Absolutely. We're not even talking about run defense.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's great on passing defense too.
Yeah, I mean, moral of the story is that I think we're gonna be as good of a defense as last year, which is not saying a lot. But we're doing it with less talent.
Does that mean that Khalil, as good as Khalil Mack is that as bad as Ken Norton was?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That means he's the worst defensive coordinator in the league.
So, really what it all comes down to is if some of those picks that we acquired are towards defensive ends, I mean, or defensive players, if the Bears end up sucking and we get Nick Bosa, which is Joey Bosa's brother.
Yeah, who Joey has said is better than him.
A lot of people have said that.
That would make me very happy.
Exactly. So, was this a bad trade?
We don't know.
Yeah. No.
We don't know.
I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. Was it a bad trade? Wholeheartedly. You don't trade a Hall of Fame player. But as fans, like you said, the stages of the depression, you accept it, you move on, you try to spin it positively. As fans, It's not reason to go and jump off a cliff.
I agree.
We have resources going forward that could still make our team competitive.
Yeah. We've added to the resources
substantially.
Look, big picture, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a big picture thing. Hey, we could fuck up all four picks and then we're worse. But as fans, you don't want to think about that. As a fan, we're going to be just as good of a defense this year without Khalil Mack, because the net gain in Paul Gunther and his defensive scheme is going to counter that a little bit.
Those are just hard words to swallow without Mack. You know what I mean?
It's tough. And then going forward, I mean, fuck. I mean, we might get a couple of good, better prospects. Some of the three guys we have now might explode.
Okay, let me hit you.
End up being a better defense.
Let me hit you with this scenario. We might, right? So you're never going to replace Khalil, the best defensive player in the league, right? But what if you get four starters out of that, four bona fide starters out of this trade? Is it worth it? Does it make your defense better overall? You know what I mean?
We won't know until the last game of 2020 is played.
We won't. But, like you said, it's no reason to go jump off a cliff because there's hope at the end of this tunnel. As small as it may seem, there's still hope there. And you got to approach it logically, not emotionally. And again, you know, or I don't know if we've said this, but like you're paying 25% of your cap to two players.
Yeah.
And I get it. That's not, you know, that's not shutting the gate or the door on a playoff contending team. But it's a lot for two guys. And if I had to pay that money to someone, I'd rather pay it to Derek. Because I get it, Khalil's the best player on the team, but quarterback has a greater percentage outcome on winning and losing games.
And no one's disputing that. Derek Carr is definitely where the money's at.
He's the man.
But and like you said, there's still hope at the end of the tunnel. But right now, we're entering the tunnel.
We're in the tunnel. There's blackness. And but there's also a little bit of silver there.
Yeah.
Silver lining. Get it? Black and silver.
Shut the fuck up. And we're going to talk about the journey from point A to point B next.